a great day, great people, and we're in God's house. I want you to notice I'm getting up here a little early today, but that doesn't mean we won't get out of here early. That means I just get to expand what I have to say. Okay? Okay. Everybody's saying okay and going like this. All right. Let's open our Bibles or look up here to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. We're going to start with verses 1 through 9 and then skip ahead to 18 through 23. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and a great multitude were gathered together to him, so he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And we'll pick up at verse 18. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when a tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now picture this scene in your mind. Jesus climbed into a boat to share parables, simply stories to teach. He knew the people that he spoke with, the people he was teaching. He knew the things that was important to them. He knew they would understand all agriculture. So I imagine him standing in the boat, and off in the distance was a farmer sowing a field. As they watched the farmer work, Jesus told his parable, and the farmer was acting out the parable that Jesus was teaching. The sower carried a bag of seed over his shoulder, and as he walked, he would reach in and grab the seed and sow it or scatter it on the ground. And the seed would naturally fall in front of him, but some would be blown to the side. It would be scattered around. In biblical times, they didn't plant fields like we do. They don't plow a field and put the seed out and then cover it. What they did is they would cast their seed on the ground, and then they would come and they would plow. And their fields were long rows with paths between them so the people could walk. That was important in this time because everybody walked. Sometimes there would be a road alongside the fields, maybe one of the Roman roads. Maybe the field next to it was unplanted and it was grown up in thorns and weeds. So as the man scattered his seed, the seed would fall not only on the good ground, but it could fall on the paths, it could fall into the weeds, it could be scattered by the air. Now it's important for us to remember that the seed is the Word of God. The various soils represent the responses that the people have to the Word of God. Their response determines the successfulness of their crop. There's a couple things I want us to notice today about this parable. And the first thing is, the seed falls on every type of ground. It's not limited to the good ground. As the farmer scatters the seed, as Jesus scatters the Word, it's open to everything. Everyone. Everyone receives the seed. It doesn't matter where you are in your life, whether you're the richest of the rich or the poorest of the poor, whether you live in this country, whether you live in Australia, wherever you live, the Word of God is available to you at some point, at some time, and in some manner. God doesn't play favorites. He gives everyone the opportunity to hear and obey. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." Everyone will be given this privilege, this chance to hear the Word of God, to receive the seed of the Word. And especially us, we're a privileged bunch. In this time and in this country, in this world, we have ample opportunity to hear the Word of God. And that response is dependent wholly on us, what we do with what we have heard. God speaks to us in our hearts, and He's revealed to us in the nature. Romans 1:20 says, "Since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." We have no excuse to respond to God. His existence, that proof of His existence, is all around us. I don't know how anyone can say that they doubt there is a God. I have to say that they have never seen a baby born, held a small child, seen a miracle. I sent out an email about a child named Bradley, and there was a miracle worked in that family's life, a child that the doctors had written off, but God hadn't. And He opened his eyes. God is at work all around us. All we have to do is look. The perfection of nature, the perfection of the human being. Science can say what they want, but they have never even come close to the perfection of the human body. The eyes alone, they have never made a lens that could focus as quickly or sharply. God has it all together. And His existence is all around us. Peter had a revelation from God on the same issue. It says in Acts 10:34 and 35, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him.'" This means to me that the worst sinner on this earth is going to be given an opportunity to respond to God. Even when God knows it will do absolutely no good, He'll reach out. You see, the goodness of God is not determined by our response. It's founded upon His character and His grace. He loves us all. The second point is the soils, the different types. The first type of soil is a path. Now, we could have been responding to a road next to the field or the paths through the field, but in either case, it would be impossible for the seed to take root. This would be hard-packed. The seed would just lay there. It would blow around. It could not penetrate the ground. It's totally inhospitable and unreceptive to the seed. This type of soil represents a cynic and a rebel. They have no use for a Christian life, even though they might be familiar with it. They see it as irrelevant and unworthy of their interest. They're unwilling to give control of their lives to anything, including God. Romans 3:18 sums it up and it says, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." I don't know how that you cannot have fear of God. He's all around us. How can you dismiss Him? I believe that these people are selfish. They're unwilling to listen to the truth. Mark Twain, I don't know if a lot of you know, Mark Twain was an atheist. He said, "It is not those parts of the Bible I do not understand that bother me. It is the parts I do understand." Mark Twain dismisses the existence of God. He thinks it's blown out of proportion. But to me, these are people who have heard about God with their ears, but not with their hearts. They've never responded to God. The seed just lays there. It never takes root. And pretty soon Satan snatches it away. The chance is gone forever. The second type of soil is a shallow, rocky soil. The people can see this kind of soil all around them. It's kind of like Ohio, I think. Other than the good bottom land, there's rocks everywhere. Farmer told me that he thinks that rocks grow better than the grain around here because every year there's more rocks in his field. But these people in this time would be well versed with the rocks and the stony ground. Some areas even have a shelf of rock that just covered with a very thin layer of soil. And the problem with this was the seeds would be scattered and they'd take root. But the roots couldn't go deep. They couldn't draw nourishment. They couldn't draw water. It would sprout up immediately, but not tolerate the sun. And Jesus was talking about those who immediately receive the word of God with enthusiasm. They're joyful. They're excited. They learned about Jesus. They learned about God. And they have a genuine joy, but then something happens. Jesus said that maybe persecution comes. Maybe troubles happen. And you know that happens to everyone in this room. Every one of us. None of us are without troubles and without problems in our life. And these people that were so happy, were so enthusiastic, all of a sudden begin to question God. Why would you allow something like this to happen? They become cynical and they start to fall away. Maybe someone makes fun of their faith. Maybe a family member doesn't understand the path you have chosen. They're critical of you. Maybe at work, maybe your employer asks you to do things that you feel you shouldn't be doing. Maybe all of a sudden your newfound faith causes tension with people around you. So all of a sudden you change. You decide to please people instead of God. When the trouble and persecution come, you choose to turn and run away. The faith is shallow. It was all enthusiasm and no discipline. It's a passing interest with no commitment. The third type of soil is where the seed fell, where it was full of thorns and weeds. Jesus described this as the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things. These are the things that grow up and choke out the word and make it unfruitful. But one thing you need to notice is this land was good soil. Other things were growing. The weeds were growing. Thistles were growing. Grass was growing. Plants were prospering. And even the word begins to grow here. But the soil is crowded. And the seed begins to be crowded out. You know, maybe this soil was outside of the parcel of land where the farmer was planting, but maybe it was part of his land. And he was just slothful. He was lazy. He didn't properly prepare the soil. He should have pulled out the thorns. He should have pulled out the weeds. He should have prepared the land and plowed it, but he didn't do any of this. The farmer was indifferent to the presence of the weeds. He was passive and overly tolerant. And this kind of person is the one that's over tolerant of the weeds in his life or her life. We allow things to come into our lives to crowd out the Word of God. We look at ourselves as we read the Bible, and Maybe we don't believe it applies to us, or we're above all of that. Maybe we don't stay focused on the things that we should be doing, and instead tell us, well, this one little thing won't hurt. This one little bit won't hurt. We're drawn to the forbidden of this world. We're curious. We want to experience new things outside the Word of God. We tell ourselves, well, we're free spirits. We're grown-ups. We can handle that. But there are dangerous weeds are growing in your lives. Things that you can't handle. We need to get focused on the Word of God and the things that are going on. I just say all of us here today are Christians. We've all read the Word of God. We've all been to Bible studies. I can stand here and say that we all know better. We know the things that are sin. We know the things that aren't sin. But still in our lives, we weigh these things. What if I do this just one time? Well, maybe the next time you'll want to do a little more. The weeds are growing up, and once weeds get started, they're hard to stop. It's hard to tell the weeds from the plants anymore. And as a farmer allowed these weeds to grow, when he starts his harvest, instead of a harvest of food and something healthy, something worthy, his harvest comes out as weeds and as thistles. It's hard not to exist in this world and not be tempted. It's hard not to allow the weeds to grow. Because after all, it's just one little weed. It's one little thing. But each one of them choke us off from the Word of God. Each one of the things push the Word of God away from us. Pushes us away from each other. How many times you've been tempted just to stay home instead of coming to church? Or joining in something that you know you should be doing. Don't allow the weeds to choke out your relationship with God and ruin your life. The fourth type of soil was the good soil. These are the people that want the Word to grow in their lives. Jesus said in verse 23, "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the Word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30." These are the people that we want to be. These are the people that are fruitful. Their hearts aren't hard. They not only hear the Word with their ears, but they hear the Word with their hearts. They work hard to cultivate the soil of their heart. They plow it, they weed it, they fertilize it, and they are productive. It says they produce a harvest, some 30, some 60, and some 100. It's not about the numbers. It's not about the number of people that you bring to Christ. It's about the fact that you're serving, that you're hearing the Word of God. It's not a competition. God calls us all for different things. He calls us into a special place in His ministry, all to complement each other. So whatever you're doing for the Lord, with a happy heart, with a good attitude, joined together, you're going to be fruitful. God honors that. God rewards that. And it's not that some people are more talented than others. They're not. It's simply a result of time and of effort. Simply a result of desiring the Word of God, being eager to join in and do what He has called you to do. It's people that hear the Word with their hearts and accept it and move forward. Not being sidetracked by the things of this earth. Not allowing the weeds to grow. Not playing at church. but actually serving God. Their lives are good, rich, deep soil, and they want to know God. And God does expect growth from us. He doesn't call us to come and sit in a pew to listen to someone talk. He calls us to be active, to be productive in our lives, to prepare ourselves, to prepare others. We've all heard stories of great outpourings of faith where missionaries go out and hundreds and thousands are saved, and that's great. That's awesome, God at work. I read stories all the time about the missionaries that went out to Burma, different places, and brought whole tribes into an understanding of Christ. But you know what it is for us here? It's to bring them in one by one, two by two. However we reach out. It's not about the numbers. It's about a true understanding and acceptance of Jesus Christ. The question today is, what type of soil are you? Are you like the hardened path? Is your heart hard against the word of Christ? Have you already made up your mind that this Christianity stuff is for the birds? There's a lot of people that go to church and they hear the sermons and they just sit. It doesn't connect with their lives. There's never a change made. If this is where you are, I hope and I pray that you ask God to help you understand the gospel, what He calls us to do. Ask Him to open your spiritual eyes and embrace Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, because He will answer that prayer. If you're like the rocky soil, and there's so many people I know that are like this, they receive the word with enthusiasm, they're excited, they're ready to go, but they're just going through the motions. As soon as they hit some resistance, it's not so much fun anymore. The excitement starts to die away. It becomes work to serve God. They don't like to defend their faith. It's easier just to turn away and turn back to the way you were. And if this is where you are today, I encourage you to turn your face back to Christ. The world has nothing to offer but a few short moments. It'll all be gone. And are you like the thorny ground? Do you say, yes, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ? But you also have to admit that your Christianity is a long way down on your priority list. If you examine your life and there are so many things that's consuming your time and your energy that is separating you from service to God, then you're like the thorny ground. It's time to re-examine your priorities in life. Again, I know a lot of people that they want to go to church on Sunday as long as it doesn't interfere other things they have going on. They put their interest before the interest of God. They put the things they like to do before their service to God. But maybe it's also that the fears and the worries of this world are separating you. I know people also that they want to serve God, but as the worries, things come into their life, they pull away from God. They shut themselves up in their houses, when in fact they should be turning to God, turning to their church families for help and for guidance. And yet they pull in, they try to do it on their own, and don't allow God to work in their lives. If that describes you, it's not too late. It's never too late to start cutting away the weeds and the thistles. But it takes God's help to get your priorities set straight. And it's not always easy to do. But maybe you're like the good soil. rich and fertile, and you're producing a crop. You're taking the Word of God, the seed, and you're making it productive. And I praise God for that. You're living your life for the Lord, and you're reaching out. There are so many people in this church that just reach out. They're so giving. It's like today, we had a need, and there are people that stood up and said, what about me? I can do that. I can take care of that. The people that turn out to help with the youth, our youth themselves, there's such great potential in this church. So many great hearts, so many willing people. Our outreach of Oasis, I just praise God for Katie being there to lead us and guide us through this, all of this red tape, and I said it before. It's just so many people willing to give a helping hand. Our Thanksgiving dinner is a time to rejoice, to come together and share a meal. Our fellowship committee work hard. Many of us don't realize how much work they do put in for everything that happens in this church. How many of you even know who cleans the church, who takes their time to come in and run the vacuum and do the things? It's amazing. The things that the trustees do behind the scene that nobody knows about. This is what it means to be productive in God's eyes, to take the Word and understand that He's called us all together. It's one thing to stand here and deliver a message, another to teach a Sunday school class, but it's just important to be here for our youth. It's just important to be here to run a vacuum cleaner, whatever it takes to make this the home of God, and that's what it is. I prepared two messages this week. I had a message done early, and I thought I'm ahead of the curve, but then on Thursday I found out that's not what I was going to preach. God had something else for me, and that's what this is. It's about understanding where you are in your relationship with Christ. It's a good parable about the different kinds of ground, but now it takes action on our part to look at our lives, examine ourselves, and find out where we are. We all like to think that we're that fertile ground, that we're producing 30, 60, 100-fold. But maybe we're that thorny ground, and now we need to look and see what weeds we need to yank out by the roots, what's choking out the Word. What causes you to pull away from God? Maybe no one in here is that hard ground, that path, but I'll bet we know some people that are. It wouldn't take much to give them an encouraging word, to share with them the Word of Christ, help them understand. Maybe, just maybe, there is some good earth there. The seed will take root. We're called on for one thing, and that's to spread the Word of Jesus Christ. God desires that none should perish, but all come to Him. And we're all equal in His eyes. Doesn't matter where you live or where you work or the things you do with your time off. You're important to God. And we're all family here. We're all gathered together to do God's work. I want to ask we all stand now and we pray together. And we ask God to examine us and help us examine ourselves and find out where we're at and where we need to be. Heavenly Father, I just bow before You. I humble myself, Father, and I ask You to help me to look inside myself. Look at those places that I hold away from You, Father, those places that are dark and I keep to myself, Father. I open myself up to You, and I just pray that You will show me where I'm lacking. Father, I pray that You will help me overcome and help me pull the weeds in my life that are choking out my service to You. Father, I just pray that You will help me become fruitful. You will help me multiply, that you will help me spread the seed of your word, Father, and you will help me to minister to those who come forward. Father, I open myself up to you, and I just pray in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.